music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, it's Kelly, and thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. And you know what? We have an awesome interview for you with a world-renowned dancer and choreographer by the name of Tina Landon. Tina has worked with A-list artists like Jennifer Lopez, Ricky Martin, Mariah Carey, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Rihanna, and both Michael and Janet Jackson. And recently, we were able to sit down with Tina when she came to Montreal to help us celebrate the 20th anniversary of Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope. Take a listen as she takes us behind the scenes of what it was truly like to create and produce such a groundbreaking world tour. Tina Landon, in full effect.
What?
I can't believe
finally
we get to meet in person. I will say to everyone that you showed up to Montreal and did me a huge favor by coming here, so thank you so much for doing
this. Well, thank you for doing this project, because it's pretty amazing.
Awesome. Very good. So we are doing the Velvet Rope 20th anniversary, and we've been speaking to the people involved with the album, with the tour. And Tina, obviously a huge part of the Velvet Rope tour. You always tell me it's your baby.
It was my baby.
Your baby. So we're going to get into that. And I do want to mention just off the top, especially because we're on camera, we usually do these interviews by audio, that we want to dedicate this to Michael Andrews.
Who
was an amazing dancer, chosen by Tina and Janet and Renee to be on the Velvet Rope. And sadly passed away in 2017. So, Mike, this is for you. So we're going to start with the Velvet Rope. And first of all, I guess I'll start just back a little bit before that, where I guess the last project you had done with Janet was Design of a Decade and the Runaway CD and the movie. The video.
Don't confuse me. I'm already confused enough.
But, like, was there a long period? I guess it was like a year or so where you were not with Janet, where she was, I guess, on break, pretty much, before you got the call for Velvet Rope?
It was a long time, but we were all still hanging out and doing things, and I was still doing other jobs, working with other artists. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure for the fans, it was a very, very long time, but for us, we were constantly playing, and then still, like, we would go to shows like Cirque du Soleil, and we would try and find some type of inspiration and still talk about the next gig and the next gig. And so it always felt like it was a continuous movement all the way through until the album was made.
Now, when it came to the album, were you a part of that process? Like, did you know she was heading into recording? Like, were you with her? Because I know during the Janet album, you had been with her for some of the recording sessions, right?
So yes. I remember falling asleep in the studio. I was falling asleep and eating, and we were always in Minneapolis, it felt like, in the freezing cold. So I wasn't, you know, necessarily from beginning to end, but I felt like, and that's part of why I call Velvet Rope my project, like, or my baby, was because I felt like I was there at the very beginning of, like, drum tracks being done and ideas being thrown out. And you know, for me, I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But once, you know, once you start to actually get pieces of it, you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And the sound was so different at that time, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But it was refreshing, and you're going, you know, it was almost like you know that something amazing is being developed and being nurtured, and it's like you can't wait. It really is like a baby. You're like, okay, this is the inception. I can't wait to see the finished product.
Now, talk to us a little bit about, because Janet's been very open about the fact that she went through like an emotional tough time leading up to Velvet Rope, which is why I think Velvet Rope is the way it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, she talks about it in the song You and a bunch of other songs. As her friend, knowing that you were hanging out with her, did you know, with her going through this rough time, first of all, did you really know that she was going through such an emotional rough time? And did you then expect the album to sort of really reflect what she'd gone through and what was she was trying to move through and push through?
Not really. Even though she's very open about it now, that a lot of that stuff was very private. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were days when I would know she was down or sad or, maybe just under the weather kind of.
Yeah.
And it was pretty self-serving at the time. I'm like, oh, well, okay. Well, if you don't want to work out, we don't have to, you know, not really like, oh, something wrong. Do you want to talk about it? I was like, all right, we'll see ya. Like, when you want to do something, call me, you know? So I wasn't probably the best, like, you know,
aware.
Sympathetic mm-hmm. or aware of anything that was super, super deep. Plus, she was very, very private. Even though we were friends, we just grew up very differently. So it wasn't, you know, I could come in and just throw up all over you, my personal life and, you know, oh God. But Janet was a lot more internal. So she kept a lot of that in.
So when you finally, you know, knew she was heading off to do Velvet Rope, what was the first song that you actually heard off the album?
I want to say it was Velvet Rope.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was the do-no-no.
Yep.
Dun, 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 because
oh,
I
no,
was.
Oh, no, that was you. That was you.
Oh, wait, that was you.
Yeah.
What was the underbeat for Velvet Rope? I can't remember, but it was either that one or you.
Okay.
Because I knew that the riff from you came from Cisco Kid, because that was one of my favorite songs. I went, wait, what's happening? I know the song, but I don't know the song. It's different. And so it was either that one or Velvet Rope. But I think I was kind of listening to them both side by side.
Were you already starting to think of moves? Did you know that you were going to get the project?
Yes, I did. But, you know, I never took, and I still don't take anything for granted. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, every artist, it's their face that's out there. It's their project. It's their life. Mm-hmm. So at any moment, they could change their mind. And even though we were friends, I thought she might decide, hey, this song's going to go. I want somebody else to do this song or something. And I kind of felt like that with Janet, too. People would say, you know, were you freaked out when you were doing this big tour? I'm like, I never looked back. Mm-hmm. I never looked to the finished product. It was like, what was next on my table? Like, okay, I know I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I don't have time to go, oh my God, I've got to do this whole thing. It's like, no, what's next?
Okay.
So, yeah. So I knew I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of times when I would, like when you grabbed me immediately, just from that underbelly of the da-goon-a-doon.
Yeah.
Dun, dun. I was like, oh my, like, look at my body. Like, just, that's what happens. Like, when a song, you know, Shakira talks about hips don't lie, but it's true. Like, your body doesn't lie. When you're a dancer, a choreographer, and you fall in love with a piece of music, mm-hmm. you cannot stop your body from grooving to it. For me, that's the first thing that happens. And then the second thing is the lyrics. So a lot of times I would hear the track first mm-hmm. and not the lyrics. And for me, for that album, I just felt like everything was so on point. Like, lyrically, musically, it was a choreographer's dream. It was candy. You know what I mean? It mm-hmm. was pasta. It was all my favorite foods. It was just right there. And I couldn't wait to get to each song.
Wow. Now, when she decided that God Till It's Gone was going to be the first single, is that when you got the word go? Like, get going?
Well, that one's funny because I'll never forget. I was standing in my house. And she came over, I don't know, we were going somewhere, so she came to pick me up. I want to say her and Shawnette were together, and they were standing in the doorway, and she was talking about Got Till It's Gone, and she had this look on her face. I'm like, what? And she goes, well, I just had a meeting with the director. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, so we're going to probably shoot this, like, I forgot what she said, like in the Caribbean or, I don't remember where it was supposed to be.
It was like this New York club thing, or even like one of those like vintage places where you probably shouldn't be out dancing, but you are.
Right.
Dancing.
But it was supposed to take place kind of someplace else,
yeah,
like
okay.
Haiti or
yeah,
the
right.
Caribbean.
Yes.
Or,
yeah, yeah.
And I go, okay, cool. And she's like, well, pretty much everyone there is going to be black. And I went, okay. And are you saying I can't be in it? Oh my God, I can't be in this? What? I can be black. Like, we laughed about it. So I was like, I was really bummed. I was like, wow, I can't be in this video. Like, can't I sneak in? Can't I be the bartender? Can't I be anybody? And she just kind of gave me that look like, I went, dang it. All right. So I have a little back and forth. I was a little bummed. Like, wow, I don't even get to be in this. Okay, whatever. But then, yeah. And then, but then coming up with the moves was just fun. It was different. It mm-hmm. was like I could dance a different way. And we just kind of, we went to the studio and just played. It was awesome, yeah.
It is awesome. And you guys got to go out on the promo tour to do that. And so you did a bunch of performances just of that song, God Till It's Gone. What was that like sort of just going around the world?
Because you oh my were God. Like, that was, that, you know what, those were the best times because okay. There wasn't social media, there wasn't YouTube, there wasn't anyone who could show the footage the very next day.
Okay.
So we really got to explore the material, we got to just take that one number and hone it, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, and we did the same number, we had different wardrobe. I can't remember what show it was, I know it was in Europe, but we were like literally in velvet suits, which were hot as hell. But they were so cool. They were like full on dress, you know, jackets and pants. And they were completely velvet. It was pretty awesome. I miss those days because you could really concentrate on one number and the people could just soak it in and remember it. Mm-hmm. And so it never became boring. And I think a lot of artists today, they feel like, I've got to do something different. The people are going to get bored. Everyone's got ADD and we got to move really fast and we got to change it up. nobody remembers anything, mm-hmm. but everybody remembers Gut Till It's Gone. Everybody remembers Janet's routines because we were able to just concentrate on that one number and the one single and let it get into people's lives and let it get into their souls and live for a while. And I think that's why a lot of that stuff, it still lives on today.
When it comes to the look that was that album, like you guys had like just different colored hair and like, was that a big decision that you and Janet came to sort of have, like, even the girls get piercings and all that sort of stuff?
Well, we did have a piercing party. You know, she just wanted people to have a look.
Okay.
And then something that was different from themselves, something that was, you know, kind of funky and clubby and really did leave it up to us. I mean, obviously, if we didn't know what to do, we would go, hey, you know, do you have any ideas? Like Nikki did not want to do anything to her hair. It was the hardest thing she ever, I think she cried when she cut her hair. And she was over it. We're like, well, put purple in it or do something. Like, you can't just be you. You were already you on the last tour. Was that when I cut my hair? Yeah, it was.
Oh, right.
So I went in. It's funny because I went in just to get my hair trimmed. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. It was already short. It had grown out. It was shoulder length from the Janet tour.
Yeah.
And I walked in to get a trim. And on the outside of the salon was this really cute girl with really short blonde hair. And I went, I think Janet would like that. I like that. And I walked in, my hairdresser, she was like, so what do you want to do today? I was like, how much time do you have? I said, I think I'm going to do the blonde short thing. She was like, what? Because, you know, that's a hairdresser's dream. Like, let me just completely do it. So Janet loved it. A lot of it, you know, it wasn't forced. Mm-hmm. It was like, I want you to find your style. And it's funny because Janet's funny. So if she doesn't like something, she won't ever say she doesn't like it. So if I say, hey, what does this shirt look like? She goes, well, do you like it? I'm like, oh my God, you hate it. You hate it. But she loved everybody's thing. And she was always involved in as much as you wanted her to be, mm-hmm. you know, and she really cared that you were comfortable. She wanted you to be comfortable in what you were wearing, how you looked, because she knew that the more comfortable you were, the better performer you were going
to
be.
Talk to us about the tour outfits, because obviously you've done all the choreography and you're trying to make sure everybody's looking good on stage, but then you've got costumes to deal with, especially I know that you had to underdress for like the first three numbers. So you were like in the suit and then you were in the leotard and there was a lot going on. So did you have to work with Janet and like the designer to sort of figure out what you guys were going to wear that was going to be feasible doing all these awesome Tina Lennon moves?
Yes. One of my biggest things were if there was floor work, mm-hmm. and we had to wear knee pads, they had to be either being whatever you were wearing, they had to either fit underneath or be part of the costume.
Okay.
And then the shoes were always, you know, I was really involved with, you know, Janet was involved with like, this is the style we want to go with. And I would sit with the wardrobe and go, okay, these are the moves we have to do. So, and we had amazing, amazing wardrobe stylists that would just, they would take your outfit and go, okay, you need a gusset here. We need to put stretch here. We need to put pads here. It was always a team effort when it came to that, especially with touring, especially with costumes. And we really, really did have the best wardrobe group that could just take whatever. I mean, they made our bras. I would come in and go, this is my, because I hate bras. I'm like, this is my favorite one. And this was like, it was kind of more of a sports bra before sports bras were like super popular. I'm like, this is all I ever want to wear. And they made me like 10 of them.
Wow.
I went, oh my God, this is going to be a great tour.
What was your favorite costume? Because it was such an eclectic look. Like, you guys started out looking so dapper with these amazing suits on and the hats. And I guess I'll have a two-part question of that.
Okay.
What was your favorite outfit? And then how much do the costumes lend to just bringing you guys the juice when you're on stage? Because like, your moves are so amazing, but then it's like these costumes are just fantastic.
The costumes help a lot. They okay. really do. But you know, the music's there, the vibe is there. And then to me, that's the icing. That's the thing actually to me that could enhance a performance or kill it. Because if it's hindering your movement, you mm-hmm. know, you subconsciously, you feel it, right? So then you're not, you just can't get that vibe out. You're not free to move. You're not free to do everything we did in rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And that was always my goal, was like, how can we capture everything we did in rehearsal within the clothing that we have to wear on stage? So for me, I loved the look of the three-piece suit with the hats and the canes. Yeah. Like, that was absolutely one of my favorite, favorite looks. I didn't like all the other stuff underneath because it was uncomfortable, but that was my favorite.
Did you like being the Grouch? And the whimsical section.
Some nights.
Okay.
Because you know, some days you're just not feeling it. You're just in a bad mood for whatever reason because you're a girl.
Yeah.
So it was great to just be able to be under my mask going, just being silly. So, and really for that whole whimsical section, the costumes made it because the dance was fun and it was silly. But the costumes are really what made everything come to life. And it made you come to life as a character because, you know, I couldn't look across at Rob with that beak and just not laugh and not be, even if I was mad at him that day. It's like, you look at that and like, really? Like, you have a beak.
So I wanted to ask you about the whimsical a little bit more because of the bouncy game things that were people jumping on, like Fun Bounce, I guess is what they looked like. Did they always work out for you guys? Like, was there ever any issues with getting those things blown up?
You know, we only had one issue. So, and that was like, that was where the grouch and the gesture became created. It was because we needed time to actually, for the, you know, we drew the curtains, they blew them up. They were like these huge oversized inflatables. So they would drag them out. Yeah. They'd have these huge like air kind of tubes that would just push air through. So they had to hook all that stuff up. So that's where we're like, okay, we need to kill time. What can we do? And we built this little, you know, grouch that comes out and, you know, kills time with the audience. And then the court gesture. So my part was once I was done, right? And I would hear a little something in the music and I'd come back over and I'd peek in. My thing was like, I'm going to peek in because the audience doesn't know what's going on. And I'm going to look back, peek in, and then I go through and then out comes Teresa. So she waits for me to come through and then she knows to come out. So this one night, I'm out there being my grouch, and I go over and I open, I went, oh my God, like everything was flat. And I'm like, what's happening? And I close the thing and I went back to the audience and I'm doing this thing. I'm like, okay, this should be enough time. And I went back over and I opened the curtain. I went, holy crap, it's still not done. Close the curtain. And I mean, this is going on. It's supposed to be, I think it took him about 2 minutes to blow up.
Yeah.
And it feels like a lot when you're out there just killing time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long. They probably gave it a good 5 minutes. And by the third time, I look back and like everything's getting dragged away. It's like the Grinch who stole Christmas. Like all the set pieces are getting dragged away. Like, we've got to go. We've got to move the show. Yeah. They're not blowing up. Something was broken.
Oh my God.
Teresa's looking at me like I go through. I'm like dying, and all the dancers are waiting. Like, what are we gonna do? I go, we're just gonna go dance out there and pretend we have something to dance on. So that was one of the hardest numbers because we were laughing the entire time because there's nothing we can do about it. The show must go on. And literally, it's really hard to dance when you are thinking you're gonna pee your pants. Your abs are so tight. You're just crying laughing because we're like, what are we going to do when we're supposed to slide down the banana? What are we supposed to do when we're supposed to crawl up? And we made it work. But yeah, so sometimes props don't work out.
Oh my God. Did anyone ever get like injured while you guys were out there like doing stuff?
Oh geez, all the time.
Really, eh?
Yes. I was injured all the time.
Okay.
But it was nothing major. Like it would be painful and I'd ice and, you know, limp off the stage. But it was more like a...
like a pull or something?
A pull or a contraction or something like that. That happened to me once because I was wearing a knee brace and a knee pad, and it was for you, and we're squatting or bending on those skateboards.
Yeah.
So as I'm pushing, I went to get up, and like the blood circulation, I was like, oh my God, I've broken my knee. I'm like humbling, you know, stumbling off stage. One night though, Rob did, it was during the whimsical.
Okay.
All of a sudden we're dancing, and all of a sudden he runs off. I'm like, is he going? And he didn't come back. And I went, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And we thought he had torn his ACL. We didn't know. No one would tell me anything. It's like, there's still a half a show to go. But meantime, while he's off getting ice and in the back room, you know, it's not like basketball or sports where you just send somebody else in. I'm back there going, Teresa, change. She was our swing. I'm like, put on this. You're doing Rob's part from here on out until he comes back. Wow. And so she's got to go, like, what's Rob's parts? Where's my costumes? What numbers am I in? Like, it happened like that.
Yeah.
One time, it's not funny, but I don't know why I laughed. Anytime Shaunette got hurt, I laughed. That's what happens when you're friends, right? There was once where we were, she was coming down the stairs and missed her footing and literally fell off, like, into the percussion set. I'm like, oh my God, what just happened here? And so again, it was like, oh, it was Velvet Rope because there was Teresa. I'm like, Teresa, get in. We got blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there were nothing that wasn't
dealable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like everyone could come back, but sometimes it was, you know, painful, or somebody would sit out for certain numbers.
Yeah.
Because there's just certain movements, like maybe this has too much floor work or whatever their injury was.
Can you talk too about, you know, because I obviously know, you know, Janet's out there, Janet's boss lady, she's doing her thing, but you're kind of second in command too, because you're, you know, you're responsible for everything, the staging and all that stuff. So are you constantly in your head having to be like Tina the dancer, but also Tina, like, I need to make sure everything's on point here?
Yeah, those are two hard hats to switch on and off, because sometimes you're like forgetting which one. In the beginning, it's really hard because I've sat out so much and taken so many notes that when I'm trying to throw myself in at the beginning of the tour or the beginning of rehearsals, I literally have both hats on at the same time. So as I'm, and so do the dancer. So as I'm dancing, maybe I'm looking to the left and somebody's looking to the right when they should be looking, and I'm looking at them and they're like, like, she caught me. Or anytime somebody would mess up, they'd look over. Just, I'm like, why are you looking at me? Like, I'm on stage with you. You cannot do that. I see you. I know you messed up. I took a mental note. But then in doing that, now I'm messing up because I'm not present. I'm not in it. After once, you know, and then when I start messing up, I get mad at myself. So I'm like, okay, you got to take that hat off. The dancers will take care of themselves. There's plenty of videotape. And that's what we would do. So once I got okay with taking the choreographer hat off, being the dancer, then each night after the performance, I would grab the tape that they would tape for the show, and we would put it in the bus. We'd get our food and we'd sit down. I'm like, notes, Rob, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you again, Teresa, and every single show we had notes. Yeah.
So you did like post-game wrap up.
Completely.
Wow.
That was normal to me.
Great.
Because you can see a tour from day one and a tour from the, you know, the last 100th show or the 50th show, whatever the last show is, and it should be better. It shouldn't be worse. And there's a lot of tours you go where like that, it's just sloppy because there's nobody there keeping track. There's nobody there keeping it nice and tight. So for me, that was just, you know, I was a strict person about being clean, and because that's when the choreo, that's, that was my vision. That's the way the choreography needed to be and needed to stay.
Yeah.
And little things start, you know, people start feeling like, oh, I want to do this tonight. Oh, this feels better. It's like, no, no, no. You don't get to do that. So that was my job, was to keep so everyone just knew, like, okay. Most of the time they knew when they made the mistake, so I didn't feel like I had to keep reiterating that. I'm like,
talk to us about Rhythm Nation, because obviously on that tour you brought out the nunchucks, which were crazy, and everybody lost their mind. And so tell us how the idea came to use those. And then also, I heard that Janet like took herself out one time and didn't do them for a while. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
So I just, you know, that was my third tour. We just, it's like, okay, we're not going to change the choreography because it's a statement, and it really does go with the whole vision of what Rhythm Nation means and what it's always meant and how it was developed. So I wasn't going to touch that, but it's like, okay, but how do you make it new? How do you punch it up for the fans? And I'm a huge, huge fan of martial arts. And I love props. They just add something all the time, right? So I don't know. It just made sense. It's like, okay, well, this is military. This is sharp. How can we take it up to that next level of still being tough and aggressive without being bullies, right? So that was just my quick go-to. And I went, ooh, this could be fun. And I thought, worst case scenario, the dancers can't get it, because they're not easy things to learn.
No, not at all.
And, you know, we weren't trying to be perfect martial artists. We were just trying to get, not, we were trying not to kill ourselves, really. So, but they make some, you know, foam ones. So I brought all those into rehearsal. I just went and bought them. I'm like, let's just try them. Everyone's like, what is this? If we just look like kids in a candy store, like, we're all playing, like, we don't know what we're doing. And that part was great, because I was able to develop the music with Rex at the time, right? We were like, okay, this is what we're doing, come and look at it, I need accents on this stuff, and that's one of my favorite things to do, is like, how to be involved with creating the music around the dance. And so I did have one move in. I ended up taking it out because I knew somebody was going to break their neck. But it was where we had them and we jumped over them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But then Janet put us in long trench coats. I'm like, dang it. That is one time you have to change for the wardrobe, because like, those are dope. Like,
they were
I'm
really,
like, okay, yeah. I get it. So I had to take that move out. Janet was scared of literally tripping herself and falling. And she just, so we would be like, we are a part of the Rhythm Nation. Count Janet runs off stage and we would do it. And I go, you've got to come. Because the thing with Janet, like, she doesn't want to, she wants it to be perfect every night. Mm-hmm. It's really special for her to give that to the fans. So, like, she really feels like that's what they want. They want to see, not that they expect perfection, but she feels like she owes that to them, right? She wants to give them the best show possible every single time.
Yeah.
So if she felt like she loved the part, but she was always like, I don't know, Tina, I don't know. I was like, Jan, please, let's just try. She doesn't want to get hurt. Yeah. Nobody wants to get hurt. So if I would have let her argue with me at the beginning, we wouldn't have had that piece in there.
Wow.
But I was like, you can do this. I know you can get it. You just, it takes a lot. And so when she felt comfortable, it was probably, I don't know. I want to say it was 3 weeks in, but it may have been less than that. But she didn't come out until she was, and I know she was terrified every night, like, dang it. And there were some nights, again, that nunchucks went flying across the stage, like, oops, someone, and but we were like, hey, we'll just keep going. It's dark. Nobody knows. I have nothing in my hands. And they won't, right?
If it's you, true.
Yeah. That's awesome. How I get through all my mistakes. Like, no one saw it.
So she did take herself out, though, one night, at least. With
she didn't start with the rest of us. Okay. I don't believe she started at the very beginning, and she came in after, and then she was there the whole time.
Okay, that's
awesome. Unless she was injured or not feeling well, then mm-hmm. she would take. But that was very rare that she would do that.
The I Get Lonely section, which is iconic. And so how was that like, putting that together? Because obviously the video went super well. Like, everybody still to this day knows the I Get Lonely video. The moves are crazy. Like, how did you come up with the idea for those specific moves? And was it easy to translate them on stage? Especially because that's around the time where she would go pick the guy out of the audience. Because you had the hats and the white shirts and, like, you ripped your shirts open too. And
right. Now that, okay. So that I remember, it just, you know, sometimes a song just takes over you when you're, I want to say Seanette helped me with that one in the beginning. Right, we were first coming up with the choreography for that, and I want to say that maybe we were even in Hawaii or someplace. We were someplace else for that one, but I would be on the bus, I'd be wherever we were, just listening, because I love that song. So I'm listening to it, and it was climaxing. Like, something had to climax in the choreography for that to happen. And what if we did this, and it was just. It just worked, and of course Janet was down for it. She was like, oh yeah, but then I remember specifically when we did the Soul Train Awards, we were so nervous because it's TV and it's live and they're not going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And we had the bustiers on with the white shirts underneath, or the half shirts.
Yeah.
And it was like doing Rhythm Nation all over again. We're in the back going, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're like, zip, boom, dang it. Dang it, my thing got stuck. Okay, try it again. 5, we're like, zip up. 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, zip. Everyone good? Like, we had to rehearse that over and over and over because we didn't want to be the one out there with the bustier still on while everyone else is out there in their sexy bras or struggling. You're supposed to be sexy, and this isn't sexy when you're struggling trying to take something off. So, yeah. Oh my God. So that one was a little terrifying. Not so much in concert, because once we did that and then we put it in the show, I'm like, no zippers. We've got to rip it off. And they have these big buttons. And again, we had the best, wardrobe team on earth that made it easy to get it off each night.
I have to bring you back to, I guess, not long into the tour, like the third or fourth song in, Janet took that moment where she, I guess it was after If even, where she stopped and, like, you guys were off stage, like, getting, I guess, ready for you. And she just stared off into the crowd. And, like, I remember being at the Detroit show, and I was fortunate, I had front row center. I just remember turning around to just feel what she was feeling. Like, because it was like 14,000 people just going bananas.
Right.
And, like, knowing that you're her choreographer and knowing that you helped put the show together, was that like a bold, ballsy move on your guys' part? Because, like, not, I mean, everybody loves Janet, so I would have never thought nobody would have applauded or whatever, but, like, she literally stood there for like a minute. And just, like, I can only imagine what that must have felt like for her, getting that love and the power of the crowd.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Like, seriously, I don't even think, I mean, some nights it went on forever. And I think she just fed off the crowd because it is really powerful. And it is bold. Like, I actually never thought about, like, people not applauding or going, like, waiting. Like, that would have been horrible. And for us, I mean, literally, we are backstage going, because we had just done If, we had just done
Velvet Rope.
Velvet Rope.
Yeah.
If, then we, like, literally, as the lights go, I mean, we are ripping clothes off, right?
Yeah.
We're backstage. I'm trying to get water. We have all of our stuff set up, ready to just, and you have people there helping you. They're taking off your boots. They're taking off, they're giving you a mask. And I'm like, hold it, Janet. Just hold it. Like, we're sitting there breathing. And we always knew, like, because as soon as the lights go out, like, we have to get back out there. Oh, so, and she has no idea how much time we need. She's literally feeding off the crowd. So some nights it was, okay, we're good. You can shut the lights off. Hey, stop staring. We're good. Let's go. And some nights it was like, oh, crap. Like, she didn't stay out very long. And literally you're just starting you, like, completely out of breath.
Wow. That's
so that was, that was strictly her moment,
yeah.
Her idea, her presence,
yeah,
to just, yeah, have that moment with the crowd.
I want to bring you to the Got Till It's Gone, That's the Way Love Goes section. I feel like you could enjoy it more because maybe most of the tough stuff was done
right
by this point.
Any good story has an arc, right? It has a climax and then a resolve. So for us, that was our resolve. We did do all the hard work. We kind of got all the hard, even lyrically, you know, we did What About, and mm-hmm. so it's kind of, we got all the heavy stuff out of the way, mm-hmm. and this was just kind of our moment that, first of all, those two numbers really feel good on your body, to just, you can dance, you can still participate with the crowd, so you can be 100% present, and they're up, they're good, they're feel-good songs, so it all kind of blends really well together, and so your assumption of what we were feeling is exactly right. And we got to enjoy the crowd. It was kind of like, okay, we're all, it's kind of like our kumbaya moment.
Yeah,
we're all
right.
Holding hands going, wasn't this a fun time that we get to share together? And we just did that through dance. And I think that it was always a mutual, it was a mutual feeling with the crowd and the dancers, and then within the dancers and Janet, and then the dancers together.
I could keep talking to you about this tour forever and probably like nitpick every single song, but I won't put everyone through that. But I did want to ask.
Someone's going to get mad that you forgot something.
I know.
Just so you know.
I'm going to get social media message. Why didn't you ask about this one? I can't, though, not ask you about What About? Because it was so powerful. I know you guys did it too, I think, on the VH1 Fashion Award show too. Like, that was the big one. And then obviously
right.
on the tour. Obviously, it's a very personal song to Janet, I'm sure to a lot of you guys that were working with her. What was it like to put that together and to get that message, the message that she wanted to her audience? Did you feel extra pressure to get that right? Like,
kind of.
Okay.
But not, maybe pressure isn't the right word. It was more of a desire to get it right because the message was so strong. Mm-hmm. And to me, it wasn't a 5, 6, 7, 8 choreography. Like, it had to, the story had to be told. So for me, it automatically was theatrical. Like, we have to do this like a play. And Janet was on board all the way with that. And it was interesting because, again, sometimes choreography just flows if you're just honest with the story that you're trying to tell. And for me, the hardest part for me was, okay, how do we get the story across without delivering an underlying story that violence is okay? So I didn't want the women to fight back and everyone to cheer, like, let's kill the guy, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I know we pulled out guns, and that was very kind of an edgy move and a little scary move at the time. I'm like, some people could get freaked out by it. Maybe this isn't a good message, which was why I didn't have us actually kill the men, right? As much as we wanted to, it was more like, it was a way to stop. It was a way to stand up. It was a way to say no. Mm-hmm. And that's why in my version, I had the cops take them away. So it was like, there was justice at the end of everything. That was a hard number. Sometimes I would come off crying.
Okay.
Now, and I'm blessed to have never really, have been in a relationship like that. Thank God. I'm not saying I didn't grow up fighting with boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's a different thing, right? But there's also different kinds of abuse. So, you know, there's emotional abuse, there's manipulation. And so for me, it was, I wanted to tell the story that it's not okay. A, you have to stand up. It's never going to go away if you don't stand up. And I can't tell you how many times, like, at the time I was just thinking about, how do I get the message out, from inside out? But I never really thought about how it was going to affect those in the audience. So there would be some nights that in the middle of my performance, I'm going, oh my God, like, there's probably somebody here with their significant other standing behind them who's going through this right now. And it was interesting. I could see women crying, mm-hmm. and I could see men really uncomfortable. There were some men that were uncomfortable because that was their sister or that was their mom. And they and then there was the men that were uncomfortable because they were the ones doing it. Wow. And so there were nights and I came off crying. Like, it just became too real and too emotional. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was such a powerful message that we stood strong at the end, the women, and that we didn't show violence back. It was more about removing the violence, taking care of ourselves, and being strong about it.
And did you and Janet ever have discussions about it? Like even after a show saying, oh my God, did you see that person crying? Or like, did they, you know, like, cause like you,
yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. The decision to have her sitting on the floor, because of course some people were like, you know, everyone has an opinion.
Yeah, of course.
And it actually came out very organically. I think she was tired in rehearsal and she was just like, I'm just going to sit here for a second. Or she was doing something where she was on the floor because that originally I didn't know what I was going to do with her.
Okay.
I think I was just going to have her stand. And she just organically went down and I just went, no, that's where you need to be. And she's like, really? I went, absolutely, that's where you need to be. Okay. Because you're allowing the state, the theatrics of the stage to come alive, but it, without diminishing yourself. Like, she's still the voice. She's still the power.
Yeah.
So she's still big. And the beauty of Janet is that she doesn't have an ego. Like, she's going to say, okay, if you think this is right, I'm going to do this here. It's not like, mm-hmm. well, I'm not going to be small on my stage. She's never that person,
wow.
Which is why being able to create what you want to create with her is so free and so open. And I think that's another reason why that number was so powerful, because you really got to see the story while still enjoying her as a fan,
mm-hmm.
that she didn't go away. You could still hear the song. You could still hear the message, but then you could see the message.
It was super powerful. Like, I mean, just so many elements. I think that's why that tour was so magical and special. And introducing or speaking to the other dancers that I've interviewed for Velvet Rope 20, like everybody just says, even if I can quote twice, he's just like, every bit of it was magical. Like every bit was magical. I wanted to ask you too about the dancer introductions, like near the end. I know you've been on tour obviously with Janet twice before that point. How does it feel like for you guys to get that acknowledgement from her and then from the crowds? Because you guys were celebrities to us too. It wasn't just Janet.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I don't think any of us ever took it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
We were more like, are you going to solo? What are you going to do tonight? I'm like, I'm going out to wave. Because you have like, you know, you had Rob and you had Mike and you had everyone who was like amazing dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of, I've never really been a soloist, like a show-off or a club dancer. So that's why you see me come out, I'm like, yep, what's up? That's all I got for you. Now, if you give me a minute to put a choreography together, I might do that. But I was like, no, let them, they can do that. And, you know, and Teresa's out there doing like an entire routine because she has to get out of her system. She didn't get to dance that show. But, you know, it's something that Janet's always been so gracious with her group around her, whether it's the dancers, the band. And so it was kind of cool. I'm like, oh my God, there's a sign for me, not for Janet. Like, what? And there were signs for Tice and we love you. And we really did kind of develop our own fan base, which was a little unheard of at that time, especially for dancers, for background dancers.
Yeah.
We never felt like background dancers for Janet.
Mm-hmm.
We always knew our place, but it was just, we were her support. We really were. And she was ours.
I did have to ask you this because I know we're going to get messages if I don't.
Okay.
I love when you came out and did Throb. And I know different, some dancers, like you said, like Rob, I think, enjoyed being Mr. Freestyle Man in that moment. I love that you came out and did like a scissor kick.
Oh my God. Like, it was my one move.
It was a good move. Like, it was a good move. And I think there was a cymbal crash right at the same time.
Yeah.
So everything.
Yeah.
Did you guys have as much fun doing Throb as we love watching you guys, getting to be Tina, getting to be Kelly, getting to be Nikki, like, you know?
You know what? It was fun some nights.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you ask Rob, if you ask Teresa, if you ask Michael, like, they all loved it because they're freestylers. That was, like, their moment. Seanette and I, Nikki and Kelly are like, we need to be choreographed. Like, what is it? So Teresa gave us our solo, right? So she choreographed, because I wanted something different and I wanted something funky. So Teresa choreographed the solo for myself, Nikki and Kelly, or our trio, not our solo.
Yeah.
And she also did Janet's. And then, but then when we had to do our solo, like Seanette sometimes and I would have bets like, you just going to freestyle or you're going to do your choreography? And we would go out there like, I'm just going to do my own thing right now. And I'm running out. I'm like, nope, I'm going to do my scissor kick because that's all I know. Like, seriously. And there'd be, because we weren't like, we wanted to be better freestylers, but we just didn't have the guts. And one time I think I did a knee slide into somebody else. So it was a lot of fun. Like, that's one of those numbers that the music is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That even if you're tired, even if you're having a bad day, even if you're scared to freestyle, it's like you cannot feel good dancing to that song.
Yeah, it's throb.
Like, yeah, it's throb, exactly. And you might be dying like, oh my God, I can't stop myself even though I'm hurting. This is so awesome, but it hurts.
And Rob, like, I don't know how he didn't die. Like, doing the crazy and the scissor, like, he had his own kind
no,
of scissor
that's Rob, yeah. though. That's yeah. his comfort zone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then he would just be the last guy off the
And stage. We would love that because for us, you know, for the choreographed ones, we would love to see what was happening. It was like our own dance circle okay. every single night on stage. We knew Rob was going to do something different. We knew Michael was going to do something different.
Yeah.
And we would just look at each other going, no, we're good. Right. But it was like all the excitement that you saw, like hyping each other up. That was real. That was like our nightclub moment yeah. on stage.
I think that's why part of the reason why we loved it so much, because it was getting to see you guys be you.
Right.
For lack of a better word, instead of disinformation or whatever. So
right.
yeah, cool. Now, I did want to ask you as well, on this 20th anniversary of Velvet Rope, what do you want to tell the fans? Because we love you. Like, I'm, you know, it's my dream come true that you're hanging out with me getting to do this interview. So, and the fans are still with you. You know what I mean? 20 years later.
I just want to say thank you. Because again, we never, you know, you're young. You're not thinking about how long, if anything's going to be your legacy or if anything's going to live on. And especially being a dancer, you know, we tend to go from job to job to job to job. And Janet's still Janet. She's doing the next album, but she's still Janet. So her legacy will always live on. Mm-hmm. So you don't really think about that sometimes as a choreographer when you're doing pop stuff, right? Because it's different than theater where some of that stuff lives on for years. So for me, it's lived on because of the fans, because of the people who we touched, and they touched us back, and they have loved this era of music, and they've started these, you know, Velvet Rope groups and the Jan Fam and all these wonderful groups that I'm like, wait, you want to learn what? I'm like, don't you guys know that already? So like this whole movement of wanting to learn the choreography from that time, mm-hmm. really at the beginning, I was like, what? No, like you don't want to do that, right? And they do, they want to learn it, but, and it's not, it's because of this like deep love that only a real fan can have. And I don't think there's a lot of real fans anymore
right.
with music because it's so fly by night. Mm-hmm. So to the fans, I want to say thank you for keeping this alive and preserving this for all of us, but especially for me because I have a whole box full of stuff that fans have given me from the tours, like whether it's a card or a little teddy bear or a sign
yeah.
or a sweater, something. I still have all that, mm-hmm. but that's in a box. Like the fans that are texting and emailing and just constantly, I don't know, just showing love for this project
yeah.
is something that I can't compare it to anything else.
I know you've spoken to Janet recently, but I did want to ask you specifically for Velvet Rope. What would you say to her on this 20th anniversary? Because again, the album was seminal, like that tour was seminal. I think, and you would know as a choreographer who has worked with the Britneys and the Rihannas of the world and you know the younger acts that have come up behind her, I really think they were affected by Velvet Rope. Like I'm sure some of your jobs that you got after was because people like Tina did Velvet, like, and I want right. something like that or her to take me to the next level too. So what do you want to say to Janet with regards to 20th of Velvet Rope?
If she was here, I would be like, can you believe what we did?
Wow.
Really? Because I don't think she has any idea either. Like, or she does now because she's gotten so much love. But I think, you know, there was a moment when I just saw her recently where it was unspoken, but it was that feeling of like, can you believe what we did? This is really awesome.
Wow. That's awesome. That
yeah.
It is awesome.
And we got, and it's also like something that we got to share.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be a performer on stage and do maybe your favorite song, but when you get to experience and share something this huge, and it really is massive, mm-hmm. and everything that came with it, it really is like, wow, we did that. And we did it together, and we did it as friends, and there was so much love, and we did it as family. Like, how blessed are we?
So I have to bring you back to this because I feel super grateful that we managed to time this interview, that you were able to do this big surprise performance at the Hollywood Bowl with Janet in early
right?
October. And I'm so happy that I get you after it because now I get to ask you all about it. So first of all, How long in advance did you know that there was going to be this special Bring the Dancer Back reunion?
I found out the Sunday before.
So 1 week, pretty much.
It was pretty much. Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And was this like super shocking to you? Like, did you have any clue that this might ever happen?
Zero. Had no idea, no warning, no nothing. I got a call from Jaime, who's her president of her company, and he left me a message because normally on Sunday nights, I'm next door at the neighbors, having a little drink on the porch. And I didn't answer right away. So I'm like, what? Because my first thing was, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Like, why are they calling me? Is something wrong? Mm-hmm. You know? And then, so I just kind of waited, like, maybe it's just something silly. Because mm-hmm. he just left me a message, like, please call me. It's concerning Janet. And yeah. I'm, or regarding Janet, not concerning.
Okay.
Okay. So then I called him. And that's when he said, you know, Janet wanted to invite every single dancer that's been on tour to come and perform with her on stage. Wow. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So then I'm thinking, I wonder, because, you know, a lot of things are going through your mind. So I'm getting ready to get my calendar out. I go, okay, so when is this going to happen? He said, the 8th. I went, of November? I went, oh my gosh, Jaime, really? This is going to happen in a week? How do you know we can all still dance? Like, what are you doing? And he's laughing. He's like, well, I know you need time to think about it with your schedule and just call us back, but it wouldn't be the same without you. And that was Sunday night.
Wow.
And then Tuesday, it was solidified, like, yes, this is happening, blah, 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 blah. And I was on a plane Thursday morning.
Wow. So now you get to Los Angeles.
Yes.
And all of us have seen the sort of social media from that weekend. So there was like a get together, I guess, on Friday. Now, was that because you guys had rehearsal first and then there was like a little party after, or how did that go?
Well, we had an impromptu rehearsal. So they only had scheduled one rehearsal. I don't know whose idea that was. I meant to ask Anthony, like, is this your idea that we could really all learn it in 3 hours who haven't done it in 20 something years?
Wow.
And of course they're looking at me going, you've done it the most in the least of, you know, in the least amount of years. I'm like, I can't remember anything anymore. Like, and this isn't my choreography. Like, it's hard. Like, it's hard. Yeah. It's so intricate.
Yeah.
So Terry Bixler from mm-hmm. the Rhythm Nation tour, mm-hmm. who's a friend, a very good friend of mine, you know, he's like, we should be rehearsing for this every day. He's very like, ugh. I went, well, that's not going to happen because some of us don't live in LA anymore. We're going to fly in. He goes, okay, well, I'm going to get together with Anthony and you're welcome to come. And I'm thinking, so that's what it was. It was supposed to be just Terry and Anthony on Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of said, listen, this isn't a mandatory rehearsal. This is what's happening if you guys want to come in. And I'm going, I'll go for an hour and then I'll come back. And, you know, Janet wanted to have dinner with all the dancers that night, or like a kind of cocktails and hors d'oeuvres thing. And I was like, I'll go back and get ready and rest. We were like, oh my God, we have 15 more minutes. We were there for 3 hours and wow. dying and sweating. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I forgot how hard this choreography was. It doesn't, and plus when you're relearning or learning choreography for the first time, mm-hmm. your body's very, very tense. So you're not breathing,
yeah.
you're not in a flow. You're so like, that it doesn't, I literally was like, I'm not gonna make it. They're gonna have to like schedule me in and out because I'm not gonna be able to do this whole thing. And, so yeah, so there was a whole bunch of us. About half of us came on Friday.
Okay.
Then we all raced back through lovely LA traffic, took showers, got dressed, and then met Janet at the hotel.
And what was that like? Because I don't think you'd seen Janet probably in a while, right? Until you saw her that night on the Friday?
The last time I saw Janet was at the tribute that we did for Michael.
So that was like 2009. So that's like a long time ago, like 8 years. That's
yeah.
crazy. So what was it like being, because everybody loves you too, as we know. It's the A-team, as we call it, Tina, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan.
Love it.
That's right. So what was it like just seeing your girl? Like,
you know what? It was, it's interesting because I'm old enough now to have lived 9 lives, it feels like. Mm-hmm. But there are friends that, you know, it's like this ebb and flow. And like, sometimes you get back together and it's like, both of you have changed a little, maybe it's not clicking. And then you get back together and then it's like old times. And sometimes when you've had a long enough friendship, it does that a few times, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I saw her for the tribute, she was obviously in a different place. And what do you can say you're sorry, but, and which I did, I whispered to her when the minute I saw her for the tribute that I was sorry about Michael. And, but there's just things where you can't even talk because there's no words and you just feel like you're just babbling. So you either babble or you say nothing. So mm-hmm. I said nothing. I just said, I love you and I'm sorry. And she was just, it was a hard place at that moment.
Because yeah, it was only a few months after he passed, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we didn't have a lot of time together. So with this one, it was so awesome and bizarre that it was like, it was a moment back during the Velvet Rope tour. It felt like we were all just getting together again after one of our shows. Like, she still looks the same. I'm like, hate you. Don't know what's happening, but you look beautiful and amazing. Kelly looked amazing. Like, all the dancers look, I'm like, what is happening? I feel like I'm in this weird time capsule where nobody has aged. Everybody looks great. Everybody is just going to go out on stage tomorrow and kill it.
Yeah.
And then there's Janet, who's like the mother of all of this. But for really, it really, really was, for the first time in a very long time, like normal, like two old friends, like that have grown together, gone apart, grown more, come back together and went, oh, we didn't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. Like, still laughing and giggling and all the humor, everything was just like it used to be.
Oh, that's awesome. Now talk to us too about that night and just maybe even to the next day where you got to hang out with your dancers again. Cause like all of these ones, you had pretty much picked so many of them.
Yeah.
Or danced with them, like Terry and Anthony and all that stuff.
That was very surreal because, you know, when I was with Anthony and Terry, I was a baby, right? I mean, we were all babies together. And Anthony even said, he goes, you know, it was enough that all these dancers came in the room. He goes, but the minute you walked, like, he literally got teary. And I wasn't even expecting that from Anthony, you know? And then that made me teary. And then like half the time during rehearsal, like I'm looking over, Kelly's crying, like, Teresa's screaming because that was like her only emotion. She's just like, ah! The whole rehearsal, because it really was that big and amazing. And the beauty of it is that we knew it. A lot of times, like we've spoken before, you know, you're doing it. It's a job, and your family and your friends and but it's a job. And you're going from one city to the next to the next and next, and you get complacent, you start complaining about, and you lose the blessing that really what you have in that moment. And so a lot of times when you talk about blessings, you're talking about in the past, but we were all in the moment going, this is amazing. This is a blessing. Nobody gets to ever do this. And we literally held on to every moment from the day we arrived in town through, I think we're still reeling over it now, but we knew what that was.
Talk to us about being on stage and just what it felt like to be, because I think you were over 30 dancers, right? Like doing...
Yeah.
That was crazy. Okay.
There was a couple things that happened on stage. Once, of course, I'm terrified, like, because I didn't want to do the knee stuff because my knees were really bugging me. Mm-hmm. And I knew, you know, I've done this long enough to know, okay, how to gauge it. I was like, I'm going to do it once at the sound check and then I'll know. Did it once at sound check that worked? I was like, yes, got this. It really felt like when I was on stage, like... Somebody texted me, I don't know if it was you, said, I've never seen you smile so much during Rhythm Nation.
Okay.
And I went, I know. And my choreographer brain was like, you're not supposed to be smiling on the song. The other one was like, screw it. This is the best night of my life. This is so amazing. I miss this crowd. I miss this love. I'm like, ooh, this is so, like, I literally could not wipe the smile off my face and I didn't care.
Good.
Yeah. And getting the, so, you know, we started with myself, Anthony, Terry, Travis, Kelly, and having the newer dancers on the side, I mean, they were screaming like fans themselves, and it was getting the love from all the different people and knowing that where it trickled down from was just amazing to be a part of. Like, it really, it's hard to put words to it, but it's more important that people know that we knew how amazing and what a wonderful opportunity that we had in that moment.
And I did want to ask too, with Janet giving you guys individual shout outs, and she gave you like two, because you got one initial and then the one she's like, I love, you know, everything we've done, good, bad, all of it. How did that feel like for Tina Landon?
You know, it's interesting because when you're on stage, a lot of times you can't hear because you don't have the ear monitor. So I knew she was saying loving things, and you know, of course when we hug, it's like, I love you. And you know, you only get those two quick seconds on stage. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really get to hear everything. And when I heard it back, I almost started crying because I'm like, because some people misunderstood, like, what are you talking about, the bad times? I'm like, friends go through good times and bad times. Those are real friends. Mm-hmm. You can't just always have good times. Like, is that a friendship? Is that a relationship?
Yeah.
So to me, and when she said, thank you for everything you've taught me, I was like, wow, that is so cool. Because I didn't expect it. She didn't have to say that. Mm-hmm. And it was the best intro probably I've ever had.
Great. So now I hopefully will do the best extra that you've ever got.
Okay.
Thank you for this. Thank you for coming here.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for doing this. Seriously, thank you.
Well, we love you so much. For every single tour you've been on, for Janet album, The Velvet Rope, and it was your baby and it was fantastic. And like I said, it was a moment in time that I think all of us are never gonna forget. And we're so grateful, speaking on behalf of the fans, to have you here and to have you still being able to tell us what it was like, and also for creating it with Janet and the rest of the team, because it's iconic and it obviously affected us if we're still talking about it 20 years later. So thank you, Tina, for everything.
Thank you.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
That's award-winning choreographer and dancer Tina Landon. Make sure to follow her on Twitter and Instagram at @IamTinaLandon. Well, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We always appreciate your time. A big thank you as well going out to my producer, Adam Brisson. Please make sure to follow us on our social media. You can do that by jumping onto our website, KellyAlexanderShow.com. And of course, you can check out our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. And also, don't forget, we've recently kicked off a newsletter and you can sign up, tinyletter.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Have an awesome week. You and I will chat soon.